sent on the slot back. Solomon in the hole there. Running backs are split behind Montana. Third and three. He has the ball. Montana rolling out the right. Looking toward the end zone. Throwing under pressure. Throws his pass. Caught by Clark.
Hello, 49er fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the 49ers Paradise podcast show. Thank you all once again for tuning in. This week's show is brought to you by Touchdown 2006, the ultimate football guide. If you have an opportunity, you definitely want to read the book review on Touchdown 2006, available in the multimedia tab on 49ers Paradise, or in the book review section found under the resources title in the navigation bar. It's not a book review you'll want to miss, and it's not a book you'll want to miss, and you can purchase it directly from the 49ers Paradise bookstore. Be sure to check out touchdown2006.com for more. All right, so to start off this week's show, I have a question here from Nick in Australia. A long way to go for a 49er fan, but hey, why not? Nick is wondering what my thoughts are in terms of the actual conditioning of the team this year, and he's referring to the physical conditioning, aerobic, anaerobic, etc. And I think that the conditioning has improved over recent years, and I think what's most demonstrative of that is the strength of the team in the third and fourth quarter. You'll often see that teams that are poorly conditioned really don't have anything left by the third and the fourth quarter, whereas the 49ers have actually been a pretty good second half team through three games in the season. So I think the conditioning is pretty good. I would like the team to be a little bit more physical, and I'm not sure if the reason why they're not as hard-hitting as other teams are or as teams are in the past is to do with the style of defense they are or the type of players they are or if it has to do with their conditioning. But it would be nice to see them really knock the crap out of someone every once in a while, and there isn't too much of that. There were a few good hits in this past week's game against the Eagles. So I think the conditioning has improved a fair bit. And particularly on defense, when you're talking about a defense that's on the field far too much because the offense can't get off the field. So I think the defense has especially showed some good stamina. I would like to see them not have to show as great stamina and a stronger effort from the team on offense to increase the time of possession that they're holding the ball for, and thus reducing the time the defense is on the field. Ultimately, that would be a great goal for this team. But in the meantime, I do think that the conditioning is better than it has been in recent years, so hats off to the team on that. Before I go any further in this week's show, and this is a last-minute edit, I've noticed that there's a fan noise in the background that I can't seem to dub out. I must be having some trouble with my microphone. I apologize for that, and I hope to get it corrected for next week. Sorry for that, and if it's too disruptive, please let me know, but I should have it corrected for next week. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so we have an Eagles game to talk about, a rather ugly game, but nevertheless, we should be talking about it. And so where does that leave us with this game? I think, for the most part, the 49er fans are disappointed with this game, not so much because of the way the team performed, but because of a false confidence that grew over the first 2 weeks despite going 1-1. Even though the 49ers performed as I think they probably should have against the Eagles, we're talking about one of the NFC's top teams. I know the NFC is a lot weaker than the AFC, but one of the NFC's top teams, and they should have annihilated us at least as badly as they did. So I think that the way the 49ers played against Eagles actually doesn't concern me so much as encourage me in terms of where this team actually is, where it's going to go, and what type of players they have on this team. So I think that it was a great learning experience, and certainly the best learning experience that they've had this year, because I really don't think the 49ers know how to play a team like the Eagles yet. I don't think the players fully understand the type of explosiveness and physical play that a team like the Eagles can bring to the field, and now they know firsthand, that's for sure. And a lot of you might point to, well, what about last season's game against the Eagles? Well, last season the 49ers were having a hard enough time tying their shoelaces. I don't even think they were taking notice as to what was happening on the field. But I do think there was a lot to be learned and a lot of progress that can be made out of this Eagles game. So I think that was actually more encouraging than most fans probably think it was. And most encouraging, I think, was the play of Alex Smith. Alex Smith did extraordinarily well under the pressure that he was facing. He was under constant pressure, and he didn't give up. He made a few bad throws, but for the most part, played smart football, used his legs to buy his time, and really looked far better than I was expecting him to. And the offensive line really could have given him better protection than he received, but overall, it was a pretty strong effort from Smith, and I'm encouraged by his performance. I also think that, you know, he was very, very close to bringing this team back into the game, and a few bad penalties, a few bad mistakes really killed this team and killed the confidence. We're talking about dropped passes, we're talking about penalties, calling back 60-yard pass plays, stuff like that just can't happen. And the 49ers have to learn to minimize those mistakes. There was a roughing penalty, a kick out of bounds. These are penalties that can be easily eliminated, as can be an unnecessary roughing penalty. Like, that's the type of thing that really shouldn't be happening, and that's where the team has to make its strides next, I believe. And once they learn how to do that, they'll have a much easier time learning how to control a game. One of the most impressive thoughts I had about the 49ers in this game was that they were actually able to sustain some longer drives, and that's not something they've been able to do at all in a very long time. And being able to sustain those longer drives is going to go back to what I was talking about off the top of the show, and that's giving the defense a bit more time to rest on the side. And I think that'll make a really, really big difference. Now, of course, I cannot talk about this game without talking about Frank Gore's fumble, his injury, and the injury to Vernon Davis that all resulted on one play. Perhaps the worst play to happen to the 49ers this season. Gore's got the ball on the goal line. Instead of getting in, he fumbles. Davis gets injured on the play. He'll be out for 4 weeks. Gore gets injured, but he should be back this week. And obviously, that single play turned into about a 14-point swing, and basically eliminated the 49ers' chances of coming back, and yet still the team kept fighting. So, of note, Davis is out for 4 weeks. So far, Davis has not contributed nearly to the extent that most people expected him to. Well, he's a rookie, and rookies don't usually turn into boom players right off the bat. That's not to say they can't, and tight end is certainly a position where it should happen, and if Davis would actually put two hands up to catch the ball, it probably wouldn't be as big a concern, and perhaps these 4 weeks will humble him a little bit and get him ready to go back on the field and actually make the catches rather than drop the balls, and maybe that'll be enough to get him going. But if not, I know a lot of people are calling for his head already, calling him a bust, but it's been 3 games, and it'll take, he's still got the speed, you know, even coming back from a leg injury, I anticipate he'll still be quite quick, and you know, it might take some time for him to break into this offense, and quite frankly, 49ers are very, very fortunate to have a guy like Eric Johnson around, and I think he's proving over and over again why he is a legitimate threat at tight end. And the 49ers are going to be in a tough predicament deciding whether or not to re-up his contract for next year, because he's playing in his final season on his contract. They drafted Vernon Davis, and they drafted Delanie Walker as well, who's playing at tight end. So I think the 49ers will have an interesting predicament at tight end in terms of what they decide to do with Johnson this coming offseason, or if they extend him during the season. Speaking of contract extensions, it should be noted, if you weren't paying attention, that Shante Spencer received a contract extension, and that'll take him, I think it would, through to 2012 with the team. So that's quite an extension for a guy who really is just an average cornerback. But I think it was something the 49ers needed to get done, because they haven't even had an average cornerback in quite some time. Now, offensive lineman Adam Snyder also received a 4-year contract extension that'll keep him with the team through 2011. This was definitely a good move. Snyder has been excellent along the line, providing good depth and starting when needed. This was definitely something that should have happened, and I'm very happy to see it has happened. The team is expected to be still involved further in extending other players' contracts. Some talk about Mike Adams and Frank Gore in particular, and it'll be interesting to see what type of contract extensions the team provides and whether or not Eric Johnson is on that list. So that's that's my take on that. I really think Gore needs to learn to hold the ball closer to his body. The team is not going to be trusting him as much along the goal line, especially with a guy like Michael Robinson, who came in and scored two touchdowns. He proved he has the power to be a short yardage back, and he didn't fumble the ball on the goal line, which is obviously a good thing. So I expect to see a little less of Gore in the short yardage and a little bit more of Robinson in the short yardage. Should make for, I guess, a little bit more predictability in terms of what the 49ers intend to do on offense based on the personnel group. And I think that's why they were so committed to using Gore in that short yardage situation. But if the team plays Robinson smart and uses him a little bit outside throughout a game, or uses him as a decoy to the pass a little bit, I think it could make a very, very big difference for the team. I want to talk a little bit about the game planning that I've seen over the first 3 weeks. I think what's notable is that the 49ers have come in with basically three pretty good game plans. And the third game against the Eagles got completely out of hand with right off the bat with a flea flicker. The 49ers lost complete control of that game. And I really thought they had a pretty good plan in place in terms of what they were trying to do. And particularly, I think the offensive play calling has been very, very good. I think North Turner has done an excellent job with this team and getting Smith familiar with his different weapons and where to go with the ball. On defense, I think there's still room for improvement. Certainly, the play calling has actually been pretty good in terms of the way it's setting the team up to make plays, but the talent, particularly the pass rush and the defensive backs, really are not there yet, and quite a ways from being there. So that's my take on the play calling. Now, obviously, the game against the Eagles had a lot to learn from, and in particular, it had to learn about how not to make these mistakes, how to deal with an explosive offense, how to deal with falling behind early, and just relying on each other and not making the mistakes that the team made. But I think the team also came away knowing that it can trust Alex Smith to make the big plays. It can trust that the offensive weapons are there. Even if a guy like Vernon Davis goes down, they have a guy like Antonio Bryant, who was just clamoring for the ball all day. Now, there is a lot of concern as to whether Bryant's actions, his waving the hands on the field and whatever, if that's going to get old quickly. And I think if the team can win 50% of its games this year, go 8-8, I don't think there will be many complaints about Bryant. All accounts are that the team is very happy with him, understands that he is competitive, and I don't think he's the same type of distraction that a Terrell Owens is. And so I think the team is pretty happy with him, actually. And certainly, I mean, he proves every time that the ball's thrown his way that he should be seeing the ball. And I think if he gets worked into the offense a little bit earlier, perhaps with some shorter passes, we're going to see more positives out of him. So, this week, the 49ers face the 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs, and this is probably a predicament where it's going to be a good game, except for the fact that Trent Green was knocked out. Trent Green, of course, is the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and him being out of the game changes things rather dramatically. Green, of course, is out with that nasty concussion, and it's not really certain when he'll come back, but that certainly changes the flavor of this game a fair bit. And it's a game that, the way the 49ers are playing this year, they really can win. Unlike the Eagle game, where I thought it was going to be a real bout if the team was going to stay competitive and win, and imagine they did stay competitive, I do think the 49ers can beat the Chiefs. And I think the way to do that is, first of all, to get Antonio Bryant in the game, to use more than one receiving weapon. So that means either get Eric Johnson or Arnez Battle into the game early, and you use them as serious offensive threats. And they need to control their mistakes. They need Frank Gore to come back and have a good game holding on to the ball and not fumbling. Really, the key here is not making the mistakes, because the team, I really think, is talented enough to contend with a Chiefs team, particularly a Chiefs team that is banged up. So I'm less worried about the defensive backs this game, because I think the 49ers are going to throw a lot of blitzes at the Chiefs, trying to confuse their second-string quarterback. And by doing so, I think that'll really help the defensive backfield in a way that they haven't been able to do in quite a while. I would like to see on defense Manny Lawson and Melvin Oliver have good games. That's something that I think hasn't happened yet, and something that I think, like, Lawson had one pretty good performance, but I think we really need to see these guys break out on defense, because the 49ers lost a lot of defensive weapons. They've let a lot go, and they haven't really proved that they've replaced them. So, excuse me, the onus really falls on Lawson, also falls on Harrelson, and, you know, if a guy like Melvin Oliver can actually come in and seriously contribute, then this team is going to start picking up, and picking up pretty quickly. These are guys that the 49ers are hoping to build their defense of the future around, and I'd like to see a little bit more progress than I've seen so far. You can also expect that Delanie Walker will be active for this week's game. He's coming back from injury, and that might help the situation of losing Vernon Davis for 4 weeks. So that's all for this week's show. Looking forward to an exciting weekend of more NFL football. It really is a great time of year. Thank you all once again for tuning in. Be sure to check out the four exclusive articles, two written by me, one by Sid, and one by D-Rock or Derek this week. You won't want to miss them. And be sure to check out the multimedia tab. It's got loads of great videos, audio archives, and the latest book review on Touchdown 2006. Thank you all once again for tuning in. And be sure to contact 49ers Paradise either by email, brian@49ersparadise.cjb.net, or call any of the local long distance numbers, the local U.S. calling numbers available on the phone page linked to at the top of the top right hand corner of the main page, or from San Fran dial locally 415-354-1083. Press 1 and then dial 1-747-628-7149 and the number sign. That's all for this time. Until next time, take care and have fun.
But the days of the 49ers had only just begun.